Greetings in the name of the one whom is our vision. Who is our vision? So last Monday, after wishing a friend a late happy birthday, she ended our brief texted conversation with happy Samhain, I think that's how you say it. Perhaps some of you know of the holiday and its connections to the origins of Halloween, but I didn't know much and I had to look it up. So from my Wikipedia search official, I learned of its Celtic or Gaelic roots, that it is a seasonal festival of fire nearly halfway between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice of the northern hemisphere. A time when the veil between the living and the dead becomes quite thin. And when time and space circle or fold back on themselves enough to catch glimpses of the other world. All Saints, All Souls, Dia de los Muertos, festivals of this time of year that have influenced one another around similar themes. These thin places between the living and the dead, where visions and memories of what have been converse with the visions of what is now and what may be. Our past, our present, our future, perhaps never linear, but in circles of conversation. The Irish poet and theologian Pádraig Ó Tuama wrote about the Celtic thin spaces in a compiled book titled Between Here and There. He is careful to criticize much of what is written about Celtic spirituality and its divorce from the landscapes and the people out of which it has risen. Pádraig himself spent 5 years working and living within a community that addressed the scars and wounds of conflict and reconciliation in these landscapes of Ireland, his homeland. He writes, "I hate much of what's written about Celtic spirituality. Dreamscapes of ancestors who lived at one with the earth are drawn without any question about how they ate, where they sat, how they grieved or fought. It is all well and good to think about the thin places where the living and the dead interacted, but what about the winter?" Emphasizing the very real lives and deaths from which Celtic spirituality was wrested, he continues. "If we are to speak of spirituality," he continues, "we must speak about breathing and dying. Spirit, from spirare, meaning to breathe. To be spiritual is to breathe. To be unspiritual is to die. It is the most concrete thing we can think of. After you die, you die." He goes on, "I've heard some people describe liminality in the language of Celtic spirituality, a thin place, a narrow place, a place where the living and the dead commune, where heaven and earth all regard each other. Hell too, I hope. Otherwise, what's the point? Narrow in Irish is quell, meaning narrow, slender, subtle, or tenuous. In Irish, to speak of the narrowness of the hand means the wrist, or the narrowness of the leg means the ankle. It is a place of mobility or action, a place easily twisted, and when twisted, it hurts. Lots of us live in this narrow place, easily open to twisting. Our past and our future each have a hold of us in the present, and we wonder how we will manage. How do any of us survive this fragile place? Liminality, if it means anything, must be truthful as forgiving, as confessing, as breathing, as surviving." End quote. It seems to me the readings today address thin places. Both Daniel and the Beatitudes of Luke are visions of what has been, what is, or what may be. The book of Daniel is seen by many scholars as an apocalyptic book. Apocalyptic as in Greek origins of the word apocalypsis, the revealing of something new, a lifted veil, a thin place even. In this dream of Daniel's, four leaders arise from the sea. They arise from chaos. They bring chaos with them. People leading from all directions, confusing the way ahead. The times are uncertain. Who do the people follow? What is the holy, sacred path forward? Will the people survive? And what will become of the survivors? What kind of world will be theirs to inhabit? Perhaps the questions mirror this time in which we live. There is a revealing, an apocalypsis, a great change happening now. If we could but lift the veil and see to the other side. The theologian William James Jennings speaks of the kind of seeing and imagination that are part of national elections. These are particular visions cast out onto our political life together. Jennings calls upon Americans, and especially Christians, to claim the power of life together, precisely at the site of threat and fear. This we can do, he insists, because an election is an opportunity to reimagine a world and to seek to set the stage for the world we imagine. He writes, "Political elections are about our imagination. They are less about our real life in the world and much more about our perception of our life in the world. In a democracy, they provide astounding moments of creativity that get used in both ways breathtaking and disturbing." What vision do we see? What is breaking forth? And how are we faithful to it? Our past and our future each have a hold of us in the present, and we wonder how we will manage. How do any of us survive this fragile place? Liminality, if it means anything, must be as truthful as forgiving, as confessing, as breathing, as surviving. Perhaps the Beatitudes of Luke paint a picture and offer a vision of the way ahead, a path on which we can just see the next one step to follow. Jesus offers a sermon of relational and embodied justice. Luke's Beatitudes are much more than Matthew's, are present and lived. Blessed are the poor, rather than the poor in spirit of Matthew's gospel. Blessed are you who are hungry now, rather than those who hunger and thirst for righteousness in Matthew's gospel. And Luke's gospel, too, includes the woes. Woe to those who are rich, woe to those who are fed, and so on. Luke's gospel, more than any of the other gospels, is focused on earthly justice for the broken and downtrodden, the poor and the hungry. In fact, the gospel goes so far as to call them blessed. It is a vision of what the beloved community actually entails, recognizing the special place of the poor and broken, the hungry and marginalized, the left out. With the vast disparities of wealth around the world on this one earth that we share and must learn to steward for all of our survival, the gospel reveals a picture. Perhaps we can just make out its color and vague outline beyond the veil. At the point of what has been, what is, and what can be, perhaps something is trying to break forth. The poor and hungry, rather than the rich and powerful, at the head of the table, leading the way. Whatever the way forward, it will be wrested from our lives in a messy way, in the messy way of which Padraig O'Tuama writes. With my own messy vision, it seems to me here in Hawaii, it entails listening to those who have been generationally wounded by colonial powers, to those who are struggling to stay in this, their home, because of the rising cost of living. It will entail tending to these islands and life in them, which are particularly vulnerable to the changing weather patterns around us, and learning to live in the grace that gave rise to us all. At the end of his essay, Padraig writes about the liminal landscapes of surf, also part of his island home, as it is part of ours in Hawaii. The source of the word surf is uncertain. Some people think it refers to a coastal region of India. Others think it might be onomatopoeic, the sound of water on a shore, a place of exhilaration and exhaustion, a place where land meets sea and creates something else. A noise, an invitation, a threat, a promise, a place to swim or drown in. A place of horizons, waves, tides, and crashing. A place of sound and salt. A place where stones are ground into sand, where whales come to die, where people delight in splashing. A place on the living earth controlled by the movements of a moon where nothing lives. An in-between place for the living and the dying. End quote. Here is this place. With our ancestors and our future at our side, we listen. We are ground down and remade, we will be, as we lean toward a vision that none of us sees clearly, but that beckons. Amen. You're welcome to rise for our hymn of the day.